Republicans in Congress have just unveiled a plan to replace the Affordable Care Act. Now, the GOP has long talked about repealing Obamacare, but this is the first time in 6 years that a proposed replacement has gotten the support of Republican leadership in the House. Julie Rovner is senior correspondent at Kaiser Health News. She's here with more on this. Hi, Julie.
Hey, Jeremy.
So tell us the specifics of this new Republican plan.
Well, there are lots of them. It's a 37-page plan, although there's lots of things that are not fully fleshed out. But basically, I'm calling this the Republicans' greatest hits on health care. It's almost everything that the Republicans have proposed on health care, going back at least 20 years and in some cases more, putting people with pre-existing conditions in special high-risk pools, creating what are called association health plans for small businesses to be better able to bargain with insurers, remaking both the Medicare and Medicaid programs in both cases to put the government a little bit less at risk for the continuing rise in healthcare spending. There's also stuff on abortion and malpractice. And basically, if it says healthcare and Republican, it's in this document.
And it also allows some of the most popular elements of Obamacare to stay, including allowing young adults to stay on their parents' health plan until age 26 and banning insurers from charging people with pre-existing conditions higher premiums. So what's not in it? Or what is it missing if it's all the good things about Obamacare but none of the bad?
Well, not all the good things about Obamacare, but yes, indeed, letting young adults stay on their parents' health plans is there. And there is some protection for people with pre-existing conditions, although it's complicated. If those people who've been able to buy insurance since 2014, if they keep that, then they will not be able to be discriminated against. And that's similar to the rule in the employer insurance market that was actually the last bipartisan health bill in 1996. But there will be no mandate, and there will be, you know, for people to buy insurance, and there will be no penalties for not having insurance. And I think more importantly, there will be no required benefits. So what we could end up with is now people complain that they have to buy too many benefits and it's too expensive. Now you could end up with plans that don't have very many benefits and they'd be more affordable, but people would be much more at risk for health spending. So it's sort of tilting from one end of the teeter-totter to the other end of the teeter-totter.
And just thinking back to all the things we learned back in 2009 and 2010 when Obamacare was going through Congress, wasn't the reason for the mandate that has become so unpopular among Republicans was to get the insurance companies on board with this plan in the first place? If everybody has health insurance, it'll work.
That's exactly right. And, you know, we've seen that there has been a problem, partly because insurance is so expensive that younger and healthier people have been foregoing insurance and paying the tax penalty instead. And there are a lot of sicker people in these health plans. But at least there is that requirement now. The Republicans would take that requirement off, that healthy people, that basically almost everybody have insurance or else pay the penalty. But they would leave a lot of those sicker people in the health plans. The insurance industry hasn't responded formally yet, but I'm sure they will not like that a lot.
What do we know about the cost of this new Republican plan?
Well, we don't know very much about it. And that's partly, as the Republicans point out, it's a framework. The Democrats had a similar framework like this before they did the Affordable Care Act in 2009. But what we really do know is that they are proposing a tax credit for everyone in the individual market, which is 15 or 20 million people. Right now, those tax credits are only for people with moderate incomes or below. And they're not really proposing a big way to pay for it. They have a tax on high, very, very generous health plans in the employer market, but that's similar to the tax that's already in law, although that tax has been delayed. That's the so-called Cadillac tax. The only other real source of money looks like it would come from cutting Medicaid benefits. And it's unclear what would happen to the millions of people who've gotten on Medicaid since the Affordable Care Act passed, but there are no specifics in terms of numbers or dollar signs.
Julie, we also saw a report out this week from the Urban Institute and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation that the U.S. could save around $2.6 trillion over the next 5 years compared to what initial estimates were when it comes to Obamacare and the rising cost of health care, that in fact, this report says health care costs are not rising as fast as were previously thought.
That's right. They're not. And what this report calculated is that the current estimates about the next 5 years or 5 years from 2014 to 2019 are $2.6 trillion lower than was projected in 2010 when the Affordable Care Act passed. That's $2.6 trillion with a T. That's a lot of money that is not being spent because healthcare is growing more slowly than was expected at the time that the law passed.
And is that because of Obamacare or is that because of the economy?
Well, that's the many trillion dollar question. This is a continuing debate in healthcare circles about was it the recession that slowed down spending? And certainly that was a part of it. And is it the changes that the Affordable Care Act has made, particularly to the Medicare program, that is continuing to have slow spending? And it would seem that it's a little bit of both. There in this report, though, they say that the fact that spending, yes, it spiked up a little bit in 2014 when a lot of people got coverage, but it seems to be slowing down again. So that may suggest it's more the Affordable Care Act and less the economy.
That's Julie Rovner, senior correspondent at Kaiser Health News, and she who knows more than anyone else about healthcare and healthcare policy. Julie, thanks as always.
Thank you.